Lord Jesus, I just pray you'll speak through Elaine to us today. Just bring some revelation to our hearts. And where there are challenges for us, where there are paradigms that need shifting, I pray you'll just bring that shift today by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Just where we've been hardened, I pray you'll make us soft. Where we've been resistant, Lord, help us to be compliant to your will and the way that you would work and change in us. So bring, Lord, bless Elaine as she speaks. I really pray that you'll just bring her just confidence that the Holy Spirit is speaking through her. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just use her mightily in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just need to put my glasses on because I can't see otherwise my notes, and that's not good. Hello. So today I'm going to be talking about reforming religion, which is quite a big, scary topic. But I think in today's society, we think that religion is quite a confining thing. Maybe the word religion to you seems quite scary. Quite a lot of Christians say, like, I'm a believer, but I'm not religious. Have you ever heard people say, I hate religion, but I love Jesus? These are some of the things I want to explore with you today. The trainee teacher within me is not going to do all the work. I'm going to get you to do some of the work as well. So I have an interesting washing line over there, and you should on your table have pieces of paper, rectangle pieces of paper. And what I'd like you to do on your tables in your groups is to answer this question. Okay, what does the word religion mean to you? Definitely put it on your table. Borrow some from another group. So I want you to have a chat in your groups or individually and answer the question, what does the word religion mean to you? And write one word, and then when you've got that word, peg it up on the washing line for me. And that'll be great. Yeah. If I said the word religion to you, is it something you're like, yeah, religion, I love it? Maybe it's joyous, or are you fearful of it? Does it scare you? And I'm going to get someone else to read them out for me. Yeah, do you want to read them out? Okay, start at one end. Oh, okay, rules. Lee goes in some rules, okay? Ooh. Oh, I like that one. Boring churches. Hypocrisy. Okay. Okay, so we've got structure, buildings, restrictional. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well done. Yeah, definitely. Round of applause. Really well read. Well done. Okay, so from there was some positives. There was faith, there was belief, saved. I really love that one. Quite a lot of them were quite negative. Man-made or restricting, rules, structure, boring churches. I think it's fair to say that we all have a different definition of religion. I looked up some definitions myself. Type into Google religion and it comes up with three different things. It says that religion is the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. A particular system of faith and worship, which we kind of had that one, so. And a pursuit or interest followed with great devotion. I've just been thinking recently, it makes me really sad that everyone is so negative about religion. Outside of the church, people think it causes wars. They think it prevents you from doing things. If I'm religious, I'm not allowed to do this because there's all these rules. Even within the church, people think that. I feel like that. We feel like that. It says so on the washing line. We think that religion is just so constricting and constraining. And that just makes me really, really sad. And I think God's been kind of working on my heart saying, that's really sad that we think that religion is so negative, even though we hold Jesus as being really positive. So my talk today is going to look at that and look at maybe reforming and changing our idea of religion and what that means. So I am going to hopefully play a video. And it's by Jefferson Bethkay, which probably quite a lot of you have seen it. It's a spoken word, and the title is quite striking. It says, Why I Love Jesus But Hate Religion. Okay, and I think we just want to watch it, and then afterwards I'll talk a bit about it. So.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat, but it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it he called them fools. Don't you see, so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let him in? See, remember, he was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention. How Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. which is why salvation is freely mine and forgiveness is my own, not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. And he absorbed all your sin and he buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, "Come on, there's room." So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
Okay, lots to think about. I think one of the most confusing things we can say to a non-believer is, I hate religion, but I love Jesus. I think people that don't understand it outside of the church will just be like, that doesn't make any sense because religion is Jesus. What on earth are you talking about? I think we need to reform religion and we need to change what it means. We need to get rid of the bad stigma attached to it and we need to actually say religion is something that's really great. What Jeff Bethke is saying here is he's talking about old religion. Okay, he's talking about the world's religion. On the washing line, we had that it's man-made, that it's full of rules. It creates war. That's the world's religion. I think it's something that we need to change. So C.S. Lewis says, to be religious is to have one's attention fixed on God and on one's neighbour in relation to God. Okay, the act of being religious here is linked to God. It's not seen as something separate. I think this idea of I love Jesus, but I don't like religion, I think we replace religion with faith and we say, I'm a believer and I have such faith. And I kind of want to question, is that necessarily a good thing? You know, I'm not religious, but I'm in a relationship with Christ. It just makes me really sad to think that that's how we define religion today. Instead of removing Jesus from religion, let's remove the world's definition from Jesus of what religion is. I think this kind of defines what that negative view of religion is in Matthew 23. It's talking about the Pharisees. It says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. They crush people into unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. And they wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the seats of honour in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. When Jesus came, he was on the cross. He said, it is finished, because he's stopping the rules. He's stopping the regulations. But I think today, in today's society, this religion is still going on. When we think of the word religion, it's something negative, because we see it as this, as maybe leaders saying, you can't do this, you can do this. As, don't I say it, but boring churches, okay? With, you need to say this at this time, you need to read this at this time. That's religion, that's faith, that's belief. I just think it doesn't have to be like that. I'd, ideal world, love to be in a world where I could be like, I'm religious, I love religion. And it's not associated with war, and it's not associated with just constraints and chains. I don't think it has to be like that. It makes me think, is just Bethke saying, is he saying religion and Jesus should not go together, or that our concept of religion shouldn't mix with Jesus? OK, Okay, this is like my favourite slide. There's a little person here, and he's talking about the world's religion. Okay, religion causes war. There's so many rules. You have to give up so much. Doesn't religion consume you? Isn't it tiring being so good all the time? You might laugh, but I think that that's what non-believers think. They think, I'm not good enough. I've got so many friends at university that say, if only I really wish, I really admire you that you believe in religion, that you are religious. I admire you. I want that, but I can't because I'm just not good enough. I wouldn't want to give up what you've had to give up. I'm going to start with war. Okay, my reply is it religion or the people that causes war? In the Old Testament, it is full of war. There are a lot of battles. Okay, but I think it doesn't show a God that says that war is okay. It shows a God that will defend his people if they're under attack. He protected his religious people, the people of Israel, whenever they came under attack. I'd like to think that if those enemies weren't there, that the religious people wouldn't have purposely gone and caused a war. In Ephesians 6, it describes the armour of God. And it talks about the gospel being a gospel of peace. To me, that doesn't suggest anything to do with war and things that are negative. Jesus came and he wasn't a warrior. He came as the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, by this all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. The gospel is all about love. You might be thinking, well, yeah, well, that's faith. That's why I don't like religion. I'm not saying, like, I understand that religion is held as something separate and something that is all this negative thing, something that is man-made. I'm just saying in my ideal world, I'd love it if religion meant something else. So, rules, you have to give up so much. My reply is like, what? I look at my life and I'm like, what have I actually given up to be a believer in Jesus? And people go, oh, but you've got the Ten Commandments, right? And you have to follow the Ten Commandments. I'm like, well, yeah, but the Ten Commandments are like, love people. I'd do that anyway. What, you have to give up hating people? Is that so bad? I don't know. It's like respecting your parents. I think that's something that society feeds us anyway, regardless of whether you're religious or not. When Jeff Bethkay posted that video, there were so many comments, understandably, of people like, yeah, amen, I believe in this. And equally people saying, that's ridiculous. It's like saying, I hate sweets, but I love Haribo. Someone actually wrote that. I was like, you're missing the point. But there were so many sarcastic comments like that. And one person had written, well, okay, Jesus came so that sin, your sins weren't counted. So why do you need rules to keep you in line if it doesn't matter like what you do? It doesn't make any sense. Why are you given rules? And it made me think. I was like, oh, I don't know. Why are we given rules? It's because he's our Father and he loves to give us rules. I'm going to explain this. It sounds like a really bad parenting book, like kids love rules. I'm going to explain it a bit. Basically, I do this thing called Check Your Camp. Probably loads of you know about it. It's a summer camp for primary school age. It's a Christian camp. You teach them Bible study. You're normally in charge of about 8 or 9 kind of little kids with a co-dorm leader. And they're kind of like your little group. And when I first started, I was like, I really want them to like me. I really want them to like me. It's for a whole week. We have loads of fun. It normally works out that you have a good cop and a bad cop. So there was one person like, yeah, we're going to have loads of fun. And another person is like, go to bed. Okay, I mean it, go to bed. I mean it, that person's talking. Like, be quiet. And I used to think, oh, the person who's the bad cop, he must have a horrible time at camp. No one likes him. Actually, surprise, surprise, I was, in my later years, quite often the bad cop. And the kids respected you more. When you put rules in place, the children would come up to you because they saw you as the protector, as the safe one. So often they come up to you like, I've got this problem, can you help me solve it? Or they'd just be really running up to you, being like, oh, can you come watch me play this? Because they felt safe in your presence, because you'd put those rules in place. It's the same with parenting, okay? I'm a parent, but I can imagine that you put rules in place to make sure your children are safe. And I think we as a society, we feel comfortable having rules. If, I don't know, for a whole day, everyone was like, there are no rules, you can do whatever you want, I'd feel very lost. And like, someone give me some order or some rules, some security, some safety. It's the same with our Father in Heaven. He gives us the Ten Commandments because he loves us so much. He wants to show us that he wants to protect us, that he wants to love us. That's why he gave us those rules. So I don't think they're a bad thing. And what's even better is he doesn't condemn you if you forget one of the commandments or if you accidentally break one of them. So I stand by that speech bubble. Rules, you have to give up so much. And I want to just tell every single non-believer, like what? What do you have to give up? The one that makes me laugh is, isn't it tiring being so good all the time? Yeah, you may laugh, but that's what people think. When they walk into church, I see all these smiley people like, ah, welcome, come have some bacon. Hello, we're all extra holy here and wonderful. I love Junction because people can walk through the door and burst out into tears and people will be like, that's normal because we're broken people and that's okay. But people, just so many of my friends are like, I'm just not good enough. I have one friend, I'm not going to name her, but she's doing teacher training with me as well. And she is just so amazing. And I really want her to come to faith. And she says, every time we talk about faith, she's like, oh, I really want to be a believer. I couldn't go to your church, though. I'd stick out. They think I'm weird. I'm like, why? I love you. So they're going to love you. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah? I'm sure we've all got people in mind that say that. They're like, I'm just not good enough. So my response is to that. Who said I was good? Who said I was good? It says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8, come now, let me settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If we were all that good, why did Jesus come? Jesus came and said it was finished because he got rid of sin. So he sees us as good. He sees us as amazing. That doesn't mean that we have to put on a fake smile every single time we see anyone. Yes, we're good in the sense of we're washed white as snow and we get to go to heaven because we believe in an amazing Father and an amazing God. It doesn't mean we're good as in we follow the rules all the time or we, extra, extra holy. That's not what good means. In the clip that I showed you, amazing quote from Jeff Bethke, he said, it's not a museum, this is church, it's not a museum for good people, but a hospital for the broken. I think that's true. I think what happens in a museum, you go and you look at things. You go and things are put on show in cabinets. And I think that is a misconstrued ideal of church. That it's not a museum, it's not a place where people can walk in and be like, oh, look at these extra holy people on show. Like the Pharisees from that, like, oh, look at me, I've got this extra pointy hat or whatever they were wearing just because they're extra holy. It's not that, it's a hospital for the broken. And I think that in churches around the globe, ambitious, in this church especially, we need to be more honest about when we're not doing okay. When we're struggling, I think it's more beneficial to your fellow believers. If they think you're good all the time, when they're struggling, they're going to think they're rubbish and they're going to turn away. So I think, who said I was good? Well, I have been really struggling just recently. I don't really know what's 100% going on. I'm getting there slowly. I think God is doing something in me, which is going to be really exciting. But I've been putting a lot of distance between me and God and thinking, where are you, God? Where are you, God? And he's in there saying, I'm here, but you're the one creating the distance. He never leaves us, ever. But I was there going, I feel like you have left me. And like I said, I'm getting there slowly and slowly, but I'm not there quite yet. That's just a bit of honesty thrown out there, saying a good example. My favourite... this is another good bit, sorry. Jeff Bethke also said, when we called him being God, an enemy, and we were not his friend, he said, I want that man. Okay, I'm also going to say, I want that woman. Okay, when we called him an enemy and we're not his friend, he said, I want that man, I want that woman. When we're at our lowest and we are, I don't know, swearing at God and being really annoyed at him, we're doing things we think we shouldn't. That's when he loves us the most. That's when he's there saying, I love you, my love doesn't change for you. If only you could love yourself. Because that is when we turn away from God. When we're shouting and angry at him, we say, I'm going to turn away from you now because I'm not good enough. And he's there going, I never said that. I never said you weren't good enough. I made you because you were good enough. We need to abolish these ideas of not being good enough, of religion, you have to be extra holy to be accepted into the secret clan. That's just ridiculous. My favourite one is, doesn't religion consume you? Doesn't it just take up all your time? And I say, oh yes, it does. Religion consumes me, and I love that. I want it to consume me more. I don't think that should be a negative thing. I came to faith when I was in like year 6 at Chequistry Camp. Loads of people, my friends, get really shocked when I say that my parents aren't religious, that I'm the only one in my family that is a believer, because they think, when they say, I wish I could believe in what you believe in, they think it's because I wish I was fed that lie when I was younger and then I wouldn't question it when I get older. And then I'm there like, well, my parents didn't do that. They didn't talk about Jesus. And they go, hang on a minute. You actively went and sought out religion. You chose it. Okay, hang on a minute. That's weird. Why did you do that? Why would you want it to consume you? Why did you choose it? If it's so confining, if it's so violent. Well, I say, oh, yes, it does consume me, and I want it to consume me so, so much more. I think we say easily, Jesus equals freedom. We go, yeah, Jesus is freedom. But the word that I would put up there as well is that religion equals freedom. The thing that was put on my heart was that religion is so constraining and it's, you're like weighed down because you can't do this, you can't do that. You're weighed down because it just consumes all your life. And there's me going, oh, it's so freeing. I think back to, yeah, when I found faith, and then as it kind of went on and grew and grew and grew, and I just go, I couldn't imagine my life without it. And that's not, I'm not extra holy, just get rid of that, I'm not extra good, take my crown off if you put one on me, like that's you. I'm nothing really, and yet I just find religion so freeing. I just want everyone to feel that way too. I look at my friends that aren't believers. I think of people I don't know that aren't believers as well. And my family. And I think, my whole life is religion. Like everything I do, I try attempt, not very good at it, but I attempt to talk to God at least like once a day. I try. I pray about things before I do them as much as I can. I'm at church. You know, I have loads of my really close friends are here at church. And I think for those that don't have religion, those that don't have faith, what do they have in their lives? I'm sorry if there are people here that aren't religious, that's fine. It's just that's my concept of it. I'm like, that's really sad because you don't, religion is my everything and you don't have that. So, like, what do you have? That's another thing that's been playing on my mind as well recently, just thinking, what? I couldn't imagine a point in my life of not having faith. And it just completely overwhelms me to think that there are still loads of people out there that don't believe. So I'm going to play a song. I think Andy did it, not this time, but last worship time, by United Pursuit, called The Simple Gospel. And it talks about laying down religion. And I just think that's what we should do. We should lay down our old concept of religion and replace it with religion being something so freeing. I think that will be more powerful when non-believers ask us if we're religious to actually say, yes, I am. And I'm sorry that you think that it's full of war. I'm sorry that you think that it's this. I used to think that too. I'm sorry that it's been turned into this by man. But to actually be like, but it can be so freeing. It can be so amazing. So I'm going to play this song. It's about 6 minutes long. And I'd like you to just take this time to listen to God, to spend time with your Father. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, then just sit quietly, or feel free to stand up, or feel free to write notes, however you want to spend this time. Just spend it with you and your Father, working through maybe this concept of religion, or maybe just something else. Just say, I want to know you more, or I want to lay down all of the horrible things about religion that I think, and I want you to fill me with just such love and freedom for religion, for Christianity. And then I'll kind of pray afterwards and kind of conclude it. So spend this time listening to the words, listening to what you're saying, and just doing whatever you want with God.
And I reach out and you find me in the dust. You say no amount of untruth can separate us. I reach out and I reach out and you find me. Say no amount of untruths can separate us. I reach out, oh, I reach out and you find.
Thank you that we can stand as believers and we can just rejoice and worship in the simple gospel, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we can lay down our negative thoughts about religion and just make sure they don't get in the way of our relationship with you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that even when we feel like we're nothing and we're rubbish, you see us as something and someone. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love for each and every one of us. For every single person in this room, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you formed them and you made them just the way you wanted them to be, Lord Jesus. I want to pray for all of the non-believers, Lord Jesus, that we have in our lives. I pray that they'll know a religion that isn't negative and constraining and confining, but they'll know a reformed religion, a religion that is just so freeing, Lord Jesus. I pray for everyone in this room and everything that's going on in their lives that we might not know about, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you love them and that you see what they're going through. I thank you that you never, ever leave them, your children. I just pray that in the coming weeks that we will just learn to love you a bit more, learn to spend more time with you, Lord Jesus. But to know that we are enough. That we're enough for your love. I love the fact that you sit up there on your cloud or wherever you are. I love that you sit up there and you look down at every single person and you think, yes, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I love them so, so much. Yeah, I thank you for your truth and your love. I pray that we, when we leave here today, that we leave all of the negative things about faith, about religion. We walk out there as strong warriors for you, Lord Jesus. Filled with your love and with your word and with your truth. And with honesty as well, Lord Jesus. That's so key in this world. Thank you for being you and for making us us. Amen.